Los Angeles, and it's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex.
It's like honey in your ear hole.
Welcome back to The Superiority Complex. Happy 2018. Out there somewhere.
Happy New Year, man.
Yeah. Jake, it's good to have you and only you in the studio today. Renee is here running the boards.
Yes.
New for 2018. Renee's on the boards for a little while at least.
Here for you guys for the new year.
How long do you get to be on the boards, Renee?
Like on the show?
Yeah.
I don't know. As long as you have me on.
Well, no, I mean, how many weeks in a row are you going to be able to before you?
I could probably be, so far I know that I'll be here for at least another 2 weeks.
Okay, that's perfect.
After this week, yeah. So another.
See, we would have had you for like 6 weeks, but we haven't recorded in 3 weeks.
I know, yeah.
So just to catch you guys up. Somewhere out there is a recording of our New Year's Eve special, which we recorded the week of New Year's, right? Mm-hmm. Jake, it was like 2 days before New Year's Eve?
Yeah.
Did a nice little New Year's Eve party, similar to what we did with the Christmas party. Great episode.
Great time.
And it's stuck on my computer, which Windows, I asked Windows, please don't update your Windows 10. It tried once before. It wouldn't work. Something on my computer is crashing Windows 10. So I had to keep telling... No, do not update Windows 10. Nope, I don't want the update. Nope, I don't want the update. One night when I went to sleep, it updated by itself. And then, now my computer is completely useless. It's a brick.
I'm surprised that it let it up, that it didn't update itself a long time ago, because after a certain point, it's like Windows 10, they literally just threw away Windows 7, and it's like, here, you're using Windows 10
now. Yeah. It's still Windows 10. Mm-hmm. But it updated, it added an update that something, I think it's my antivirus software.
You can
crashes.
Roll back your updates.
Can't. I tried it. I did it once. Won't let me
to
do it again.
To restore point, you won't do it?
Mm-mm. Won't do it.
Ah, oh, sucks.
I tried it, man. I've tried everything to get this thing back. There was an extra long 2-hour episode of a Castaways Corner I did with Brent from Home Video Hustle and Rob from Wrestling Nerds Alliance, and then from it was Stork and from Beside a Geek. And Phil from Useless Debates, and I had trouble editing it on my machine. For some reason, the WAV file would crash the computer. I don't know why. I finally figured out, idiot, just edit the MP3. I was almost done with the edit when this update happened. So if I get the computer back, I have to start that from scratch. That's already 2 months old, so who cares about that? But it just ends up making me look shiftless and lazy. It makes Trump right, and that really hurts me.
God damn it, Windows.
Damn you, Windows.
Get your shit together.
How are you? How's your 2018, man?
2018's good.
You're looking good, man.
Yeah.
You're wearing the contacts.
I know.
How's it feel?
Feels good. I can actually see, and I have my peripherals now.
You got the perif going. What do you see on the perif right now? Look right at me. What do you see on your perif?
I see Django.
Trees of green?
I see Django Fett.
Red roses, too?
Me. Yeah.
That's Boba Fett.
Boba. What's up? Sorry, Boba.
That is Boba Fett.
Sorry, Boba.
With the Mandalorian battle armor.
Mm-hmm. Looks good.
I'm not nerdy. We gotta kill time till Renee comes back, because I want to ask Renee how his New Year's.
I know. It's been good.
Renee decided to just take a potty break mid-show.
I know. But
we usually do a break. No break today.
No break.
We're actually going to record this and then upload it minutes later. So this thing is going to be hot and fresh.
Fresh off the press.
Fresh off of the digital recording device. Mm. Renee's still in there he's been in there a while. What do you think's going on in there?
I don't know. He's like, I think he fell in.
You think he's okay?
He might have fallen in there.
He's okay.
Having a little trouble.
He's okay.
Yeah.
He had an extra cup of coffee this morning.
That's true.
He knew he was going to have to come in and deal with this, so.
I don't blame him.
He fortified himself with an extra cup of strong coffee.
Of that strong Mexican coffee.
Man, dude, have you played any, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
This is New Year. Have you? We have not had. I have not been to board game night in 3 weeks.
I haven't been to board game night.
We
in
were
three
sick.
Weeks either.
I had to work last week. You guys were sick 2 weeks ago, and I was sick the week of New Year's.
No, you guys were sick.
Oh, you never got sick?
No, I didn't get sick.
Oh, you wait till you get it, brother. You're gonna get the last one.
You all got sick, and then I'm just gonna work. I'm gonna work on my stream.
You're gonna be like the guy in the zombie movie that's like, I made it. And then right at the end, they just burst out of a wall and just chew your neck off.
Yep. This happens.
It's all right, dude.
Every goddamn
time. At least you get to be in this episode.
Yeah. I get one episode.
Yeah.
One episode, just you, me.
How's your new year, brother?
It was good. It wasn't bad. I just relaxed with a few friends, you know. Didn't do anything like extravagant. Didn't go to a club. Didn't go to a party. We just had a little get together. That was it.
You celebrate with your lady friend?
No, I couldn't. I wasn't able to because I couldn't get the time off. But I did see her like last week. Last week, yeah. Mm-hmm. All weekend, and Jake was kind enough and to give me a ride.
I am proud to say that I am the first one to have met her.
Oh, yeah. How'd that go?
It was good. She's a lovely person.
And she just all
with
super.
The 5 seconds that I got to talk to her.
She all super into Renee, like really annoying. Like, it's like, oh my God, he's the best.
It wasn't annoying.
So it was annoying.
No, it was cute.
It was cute.
That's great. I see
it was cute. I had an awe moment when they're like, oh, see you later, babe. I'm like, oh.
Let me tell you though, if you guys, everybody, when you meet Renee in real life, you have no other reaction but you just want to love him. He's just a great guy. Mm-hmm. And so when you see him happy and he's posting his pictures on Instagram, mm-hmm. and he's just like, me and my girlfriend hanging out, you're just like good for you, Renee.
Yeah.
So good for you.
You'll have an awe moment.
Yeah, I guess
so. It's a beautiful thing.
I know. I get a lot of people. It's funny. Whenever I post stuff with me and my girlfriend on Instagram, it's funny. She gets like maybe like 10 likes normally. But when I post something, it's like usually 50 likes or 40.
So what you're saying is you're better.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So, that you're too good for her.
You're more popular than she is. I see. We're getting down to the nitty gritty. I see.
But she knows that my circle of friends are whiter than her circle of
whiter?
Friends.
Are you whiter. Wow, this is really going into some dark places.
Well, then.
So you hang around with a lot of white people. That's cool. Yeah,
a lot of white people. I got to keep that.
Patrick. Yeah, Patrick's one of them. John Sandy.
He's got to keep the ratio pretty even.
John Sandy out today. He has a little plumbing problem, and that is not a euphemism. Apparently his thing for plumbing issues at his apartment, so he could not make it today. He had to wait all day for a plumber, and
dang.
I guess they were supposed to show up Monday. They never showed up.
Well, so I always have
so they happens. Rescheduled for there's Emma. Emma wearing ripped jeans to her other job, not allowed.
Not here, it's not.
Bye, Emma. What are you gonna sweep something up? Chim chiminy chim chiminy chim chim tree. She just ran out of here with a broom.
Sweeper's lucky as lucky can be.
We want to do a couple birthday shout outs. Yesterday, Brent from the Home Video Hustle, our podcast homie, is his birthday. I don't know how old he is.
Well, happy motherfucking
birthday. There you go.
Birthday motherfucker. Yeah, happy birthday to you, Brent, from everybody here at the Superiority Complex.
Yeah.
And then our friend Angel Martinez, he's a co-host. He's been a guest on our show a couple times. He's a co-host over on the Retro Convo. He's living up in Washington now. He does all of his shows remotely, but we want to wish him a happy birthday, too. So happy birthday, Angel, from everybody at the Superiority Complex. So you can follow Brent on Twitter at HVH Podcast. Capital H, capital V, capital H, capital P, Oddcast on Twitter. Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you very much.
It's beautiful.
So what? We only have one topic today, but I feel like it's going to take up most of our show.
Yeah.
I asked the boys to do their top 10 list of movies for 2017. And top 10 is usually a lot, but we don't have, not everybody's here. So this actually works out that Patrick and Justine could not make it and John was out, because we can actually do an expanded list, because otherwise we'd have to do like top five and there's some stuff that would get left off.
Mm-hmm.
And even with top 10, I had a lot of trouble. There was a lot of movies I really enjoyed this year. So I had trouble coming up, narrowing it down to just 10.
I watched nine this year.
So you watched nine movies and you're going to rank those nine. Is that correct?
Yeah.
It's okay. So you saw nine movies this year and you're going to rank them in that order. I saw, looking at this list, I think I saw about 15 movies in the theater this year. So I'm going to rank those that I saw. And Renee, you were able to come up with nine as well?
I was able to come up with nine. I think I can come up with one more as we go on.
Okay, well, let's just jump right in, and I'll give my 10, and then we'll go around and we'll give the nines, all right?
Yeah, let's do it.
Top 10 this year, my number 10 movie. And again, there was a lot of stuff at the top that could have filled in the slot, and we'll talk about my honorable mentions. I don't know if you guys have any movies that didn't quite make the list for you, but... I'm going to say that Thor Ragnarok is it's in the top 10, mainly because I was not expecting to like it as much as I did. Mm-hmm. And it really took me by surprise how much of a comedy it was and how well now Marvel is. They're so established that they're just able to make they can make a comedy with a character like Thor, and it works.
I think that's why Thor Ragnarok was really interesting, because it was a simple movie, didn't have, you know, a lot going on, but it worked and the director had fun. You can tell the cast had a lot of fun just doing a Thor movie.
Yeah. My only nitpick was they totally glossed over the fact that Thor's buddies got killed in this one.
Yeah, that's what
they just kind of glossed over it. But other than that, you only saw them when they were in Asgard anyway. Mm-hmm. So, but it was kind of a bummer that they just killed those. Yeah, they just killed them off and like, meh, okay.
That was it. Yeah.
Yeah, they'll probably be back.
I want to see more Korg.
Yeah, Korg. I want a Korg spinoff movie.
Yes, please. A lot of people didn't like, hardcore fans, obviously, didn't like that interpretation of Korg. But I was like, you know, it worked for the movie.
Yeah,
you know?
It's fine.
Yeah,
I was like, I liked it. It was funny. Again, you have to remember, you need to make these movies for the largest amount of people, mm-hmm. the widest
the
audience.
General audience. Yeah. Yeah.
And not any. Most people I know love that character because you weren't expecting it.
Yeah, that's
you were
thing.
Not expecting it just to be this mellow New Zealand voice yeah. coming out
hey,
of
man.
The yeah, just like
hey,
the, he looks like he looks come? Terrifying, and then he ends up being like the nicest guy in the world. It's
you're
great.
Start a revolution. yeah.
The nicest revolutionary you've ever
there
heard.
There you go. Yeah.
All right, so let's go dropping down to number 9. What do you got, Renee?
For me, number 9, I have actually Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast.
The live-action version.
I didn't see it when it came out in theaters, but I did see it eventually when it came out on Blu-ray, and it was actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, granted, Emma Watson's portrayal, and it wasn't really...
What's wrong?
I mean, singing-wise.
Oh, well, it was auto-tuned, which was distracting.
Which you can... It wasn't even subtle. You can obviously tell it was.
Especially in the first song.
Yes.
In the very first song, the
when she's like,
the auto tune is so apparent and it's just kind of
everything. It does that little digital thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the one before, like it does that. You're like, that does not sound right. Auto tune. Why is it doing it like that?
And you know, I think one of the things I liked about it though even more was. Gaston, the actor that played Gaston was
Gavins. And Josh Gad was good as LeFou. I thought the musical piece, I was a little disappointed with Be Our Guest.
It was underwhelming.
It was a little underwhelming. Like King Louis' song in Jungle Book was also very underwhelming.
You would have thought, too, in that
be
song.
Like you.
Yeah.
Talk like you.
Yeah. Well, so. Talk like you. Walk like you, too. You know, but it was, but there was a lot of voice actors that I didn't realize were doing the characters that I found out at the end of the movie. Like, Ewan McGregor was...
Oh, yeah.
Who was Ewan? Who
was the...
He was Lumiere.
Lumiere, yeah.
Was he?
Yeah. And...
And Sir Gandalf was Cogsworth.
Uh-huh.
Ian McKellen,
yeah.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah. And then, what's her name? Emma...
Emma Watson?
No, the other one.
Emma Stone.
Oh, Kenneth Branagh's wife.
Yeah.
Emma Thompson.
Emma Thompson was Miss Potts.
Mrs. Potts,
which was, I was like, that worked. I was like, that worked.
By the way, Disney, Angela Lansbury, still alive as far as I know.
Yeah.
I think she's still alive. So
that would have been a great throwback.
Yeah, why not throw her a bone? But it's okay. It was fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 9 for you.
Number 9.
Yeah, here we
and
go.
It's going to get a lot of flack because I've only seen 9 movies, so you need to bear with me here.
Yeah.
Boss Baby.
Don't kill him.
Don't murder me, please.
Now,
backlash on social media.
Now, tell us how Boss Baby made the number 9
spot. Because I've only seen 9 movies and you told me to do top 10.
But wait, and then...
And I saw... Okay, so I didn't see the movie in its entirety.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a bunch of clips on YouTube because I'm like, oh, I wonder what Boss Baby is about. And I saw a bunch of clips of it, and they probably equated to most of the movie. So I'm like, I've probably seen Boss Baby. So here, we'll put it on here.
Mario's dying.
Okay, if you watch 20 minutes of clips of Boss Baby, you get the gist of the movie.
Yeah, you don't need to.
Mm-hmm. It was cute. It was cute. It was kind of funny. And I'm like, all right, sure.
So the movie he didn't really see gets a 9.
Yeah.
Perfect. I love it. All right. My number 9 is a tie. And I hate doing this because it's a cheat.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of superhero movies out this year.
Yeah, there were.
And I will tell you, these two sort of complemented each other in my mind. They were Wonder Woman and Spider-Man Homecoming. They have a tie for 9th for me because I loved Wonder Woman except for the last 30 minutes, and I keep saying that every time it comes up. Last 30 minutes was like a video game. The same with Spider-Man. Spider-Man kind of had that same kind of video game ending, but what I really liked is this was an origin story for for Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. And this was kind of a reboot for, it was a reboot for Spider-Man, but it kind of, it was the origin story of him working with the Avengers and Tony Stark and that whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I really like how they went back and did, and they made Spider-Man funny again. And so in a lot of ways, for DC, this is a movie where they needed it to hit. They needed to do it a certain way, and they nailed it. They mm-hmm. got it. They got the character down. They made it was fun. It, there was a sense of there was a seriousness about it, but they had fun with the character mm-hmm. and her being out of her element, kind of a fish out of water. And I like the idea that they made Spider-Man fun again. He was a teenager, kind of a smart aleck teen when he's Spider-Man. So I liked them both for different reasons, and they tie for number 9 for me.
Okay.
What do you got, Renee? What's your number? So now we're on to number 8 for you guys.
Yeah. Well, actually, okay, I found out number 10 was actually Thor Ragnarok for me. That's number 10 for me because I've seen that movie, I think, in the theaters 3 times.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So,
you have a number 9.
So, yeah. So number 9 was Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, so number 9. So you're going to say 10 was Thor Ragnarok as well.
Yeah.
All right. So we got the same number 10. Yeah. Good for you.
Okay.
Good synergy. Good synergy. If you're playing along at home, what do you think everybody's number 1 movie is? And place a dollar down with whoever is with you now. We'll wait.
Yeah.
And then whoever wins gets that pot. Whoever, oh, whatever movie you think.
I think we all know.
All right. So now we're on to number 8.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you get for your number 8?
What did Renee get for number 8?
Yeah.
You passed over. Because you guys know what my number 9 and number 10 is. So number 8 for me would have to be It.
It? I didn't see it.
It was actually a really good movie, in my opinion.
A lot of people liked it. A lot of people really liked it.
It was definitely, I read the book, and it stayed true to certain elements of the book. Some I wish it could have been, but it's very out there, especially for, if you've read a Stephen King novel, he always has stories. And if you try to think like, oh, well, how do you interpret that into a movie? You can't, most of it, because it's really out there. So. Yeah. But what they did was is that they went a more eerie and uncomfortable aspect of it, which was Pennywise was really good. The actor that portrayed Pennywise was really good, Bill Skarsgård. And the children's chemistry in the movie was great as well, too. I liked it a lot. I love seeing them, all the actors come on screen, and when they're formed and when they're trying to take down Pennywise, it was fun. It was like a more serious, grim Stranger Things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. How about you, Jake, number 8?
My number 8 is Beauty and the Beast.
Oh.
I liked it. I do like the original Beauty and the Beast. I thought the numbers were good, apart from a couple auto-tune segments, but we don't want to talk about that.
Little town.
In a crime.
I can't do the... That sounded country.
In every a day, quiet, really.
Every day, like the one before. Little town full of little people waking up to say bonjour.
Bonjour.
Bonjour, bonjour, bonjour. There goes a baker with his bread like always. The same old bread and roast to sell.
You sound like Billy Ray Cyrus trying to sing.
Oh, jeez.
Everybody's still the same. It's the morning that we came. I can't remember the rest of the
lyrics. I don't remember the lyrics.
I sound like Bruce Springsteen doing that. All right.
But that was good. I liked it.
Thank you. Number 8 for me, Logan. Mm. A more serious take on the superhero genre.
Yeah.
But not so dark that it wasn't enjoyable.
Yeah.
Great ending for the character, mm-hmm. I felt. Said goodbye to him in a way that really...
It felt very well,
and it felt much more like a Western than a comic book movie. Mm-hmm. So I was really surprised that they took it in that direction, and I had to rewatch it. I watched it and I enjoyed it, but it didn't stay with me. But when I rewatched it again, I said, you know, this is worthy of my consideration. I watched it again, and it's like, you know, this deserves to be in the top 10 for the year.
Did you watch it in black and white?
I did not.
I watched. I bought the Blu-ray that has both black and white and the normal one. And when you watch it in black and white, it almost has a different tone.
Does it?
Yeah, it's weird. You're watching it, and you're like, oh, wow. Like, it feels like a different tone, but I think because you're watching the black and white, it makes it feel like that.
That's the only reason I wasn't excited about that was because you have to shoot and light for black and white a certain way.
Yeah.
And if you don't do that from the outset, then it just kind of looks pasted. It doesn't look right.
That's why I said it almost feels like, because obviously when you watch it, you know, it does feel like, especially when they're at night, when they're in the farm, you know, that really kind of ruins the scene.
Does it?
Because it's the shading,
yeah,
the lighting.
You have to light for it a certain way. Yeah. You have to light for black and white a certain way. Yeah. That's why it was kind of like, I thought it was like, oh, that's a cool idea because they want to make it more, you know.
Yeah.
But if you're not shooting it that way, it's like when they slap 3D on after the fact. Yeah. You know?
But the last scene when they're in the forest in black and white, that's actually really good.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Logan was my number eight. What do you got for number? So that takes us to number seven now?
For me, yes.
Seven, Renee. What do you got?
For me, I would have to say War for the Planet of the Apes.
Did not see it.
That
war for the Planet of the Apes.
Dawn of the Rise of the Planet.
How was it?
I'm a big fan of the Planet of the Apes films. I've watched the older ones since I was little, and then I've really enjoyed the new interpretations of them. And in this one, Caesar gets a more justiful character arc in, not in like this whole the new series, but in like the entire genre. You're watching it, and the way you see his character arc finally finish is really good. And then you have Woody Harrelson as an amazing villain. You know, this guy that's just hell-bent on winning the war against the apes, and then also trying to, like, start a new revolution as well, too. It's really good. And then you get to see the amazing effects of Andy Serkis, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
He does the voice and the movement, and it's really good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have not seen it. I've enjoyed this new ape series, but not enough to go see any of them in the theater.
Oh, really?
Like, I catch them when they come on video, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that was good.
No, War for the Planet of the Apes was definitely worth seeing in theaters.
Okay. Maybe it's still out there.
Maybe
I'll get that discount theater vibe.
No, you can get the collection and buy them all.
That's true.
Now they're out. They're done.
All right.
They're saying they're making a new, basically a new trilogy now with the next generation of apes in this movie.
Oh, Jesus.
But I think if they ended it here, fine.
Perfect. Okay.
It's fine. Yeah.
Just what they need to do. Make your trilogies. Move on to the next thing.
Yeah. Pirates of the Caribbean.
Basically.
I know.
What was your number seven?
Number seven.
No.
Yes.
Yeah, it's number seven.
Okay, number seven.
Number seven was Disaster Artist.
Really? Uh-huh. Oh, was or is?
Is.
Oh, okay.
Disaster Artist.
I didn't see it.
I didn't see it either.
You know, I've never seen The Room.
I haven't seen The Room either. You don't have to see The Room to enjoy the movie.
That's true, but I feel like if you watch The Room, you get a different layer of watching The Disaster Artist. Now, I've seen The Room. I've seen The Room. I know about The Room and stuff like that. I have yet to see The Disaster Artist, but I hear this one's really good.
It's basically the whole story about how Tommy Wiseau came to make The Room.
Yeah.
And it was done by the Franco brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Or the main actors. Was it James Franco? Mm-hmm. Older brother was Tommy Wiseau. And then... What's the other Franco brother?
Dave Franco.
Dave Franco was the other guy's name.
He was the co-act. Yeah, he was Greg Sirin, where he was the friend of Tommy Wiseau, and they both decided to make a movie together.
Yes, but really well done. James Franco did Tommy Wiseau like really, really well. It was just beautifully done, and it was a lot more heartfelt than I thought. I thought it was going to be kind of like
comedy.
Mm-hmm. But it ended up being like a real, it almost like a movie about best friends, man.
I think that's why James
Franco. Love and betrayal.
James Franco never has heard of The Room before, but he read the book of the co-star that wrote a book about The Room, and he said that that story was good. Mm-hmm. That's why he decided to do The Disaster Artist. He said the story of how Tommy Wiseau basically came from nothing and decided to make his own movie after Hollywood was telling him no. He's like, you know what? I'll just make my own movie. And that's what he likes. It was the journey.
Kind of like an Ed Wood character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was good.
I didn't see it.
Wonderful.
I felt like I needed to see The Room first. I've heard so much about it.
You don't, but I say you should see it.
Okay.
You should see it.
All right, I'll check it out.
It'll hurt, but you'll also kind of...
Well, the Riff Tracks version is on Amazon right now.
That's how you can watch it that way. Yeah.
You can actually just straight up watch it on YouTube, too.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Do I want to?
Yes.
What kind of spam am I going to get after that?
I don't know. None. Maybe.
Just a bunch of Tommy Wiseau ads.
My number seven is The Big Sick.
Oh, how is that?
It's great. Kumail Nanjiani.
Oh, okay.
It's autobiographical. It's not completely autobiographical, but it's the story. There was a point where His now wife was in a coma, and it was how he dealt with it. They had just broken up they were been dating and had just broken up, and she got sick and was put into a medically induced coma, and it's how he had to deal with her family and the awkwardness because they'd just broken up. And it's also, there's a lot of things because he's Pakistani and meeting her family for the first, his girlfriend's family for the first time. Ray Romano and Holly Hunter play the parents of his, and the only person that doesn't play themselves is his wife. They actually do a podcast called The Indoor Kids. If you want to hear a great podcast, and Kumail also did the X-Files. If you're an X-Files fan, he was a huge X-Files fan, and he went through episode by episode for years ago.
That's really cool.
And with other comedians, and had them watch, and they would break down each. They'd break down like two episodes of, but and it's all a story, and it's really good, really heartfelt, very funny. And there's very touching as well, because obviously this is. And his wife's name is Emily Gordon, and she does not play herself, but it's great. You have to check it out. It's really, really good. If you like Kumail from his appearances on Silicon Valley, you'll like
it. I love that actor.
He's a very likable guy, and it comes across.
He's a funny comedian as well, too.
It's very funny, and it's a really, really good movie, so check it out.
I will. I'll check it out today.
Indie movie. My wife and I went to saw it, and we were just pleasantly surprised. I was like, man, that really felt like we got our money's worth. We laughed. We cried.
It's on Amazon Prime.
It's on Amazon Prime now. Check it out. It's an Amazon Studios film.
Yeah.
So it'll be on Amazon Prime forever.
Oh, I got to check it out.
Yeah, yeah. Check it out. The Big Sick.
Yeah.
All right. What's your number seven, Nene?
Well, this would be number six for
me. Oh, that's right. Yeah. You guys are behind me. That's right.
Well, we saved the best for last week.
That's right.
There you go.
For me, would have to be number six would be John Wick 2.
Uh-huh.
Because I loved the first one when it came out in 2014.
Okay.
And this one, John Wick 2, really was... I put it on my list because it's one of those movies that's obviously better than the first one.
Okay.
That the sequel is better than the first one because this one really dove into the world of John Wick. And we get more of a character arc for John Wick as well, too. And the villain is great, too. Like, the villain was good in the first one as well. But this one, you really like to hate the bad guy in the second one. And the action was just amazing. The choreography was really good.
Well, even John Wick 1, it's just like, it was just a great action movie.
Yeah.
Awesomely choreographed, and just, it just was a fun movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's nice that they elaborated on the universe that you really don't see anything about in the first one.
Mm-hmm. You get more into
I need to
it.
Check it out. I think it's on video now. I haven't watched
Should
it.
Be, yeah.
I have not watched it. But I did like the first one.
First one was good.
So in this one, let me see if I can guess.
Mm-hmm.
He gets a cat.
No, this one, it's the basic premise is he gets drove back into the world of assassins because he makes a deal in his past and someone tries to cash it in, basically, that tries to bring him back, and obviously something goes wrong. And now he's trying to deal with it and trying to get back at those people again.
Oh, okay.
It's really good because you think the story is like, oh, it's not that great. But it's like, I think what makes the movie great is the characters in the movie.
I was going to say, you don't need a story necessarily. You just need an excuse to set him off on
basically
a violent trek. Yeah.
And it's great. There is one scene where he is in, I think he's in Paris, and he's going through the catacombs of Paris, and he's just going all out in there with his weapons and his fighting style. All
right, cool. I'm going to check it out.
Yeah.
All right, number seven for you. Patrick.
Well, number seven was Disaster Artist, but number six is going to be Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Yes.
You liked it? Yeah, mm-hmm. It was good.
Yeah, it was good. I thought they touched on the relationship between everybody in this one a little bit more, and they also did a little bit individual character progression, I guess you would say. A little bit more character progression between the individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And it made them feel like more of like a family, mm-hmm. as opposed to just a bunch of random people who just so happen to
meet
together and are kind of stuck together.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really good. And if you have daddy issues, like someone we know, won't name names, Patrick, but.
Where you're sitting in a seat right now?
Yeah. Sitting in his cozy seat. But no, I mean, it does have a really cool like father.
Yeah. There's
father son interaction. Yeah. So, yeah, good movie, And it's funny, just like the original, but not quite as funny.
It's a good movie.
It's a good movie, yeah.
All right. My number six just got bumped. It was in my top five right up until a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And but it's now bumped down to top 10 status. And there was a time in my life where a movie of this franchise would have been automatically number one.
Really?
But number six is The Last Jedi.
Oh, you put that as number six.
Number six is my Last Jedi. It did not quite crack the top 10 for me this year. Okay. But I've seen it enough to know that the haters are wrong. It's a great Star Wars movie. It and is. Time will be kind to this movie, mm-hmm. just like it was Empire Strikes Back. And you know what? If you didn't like the movie because it just didn't feel like a Star Wars movie, or I mean, I get that. But if you hated it just because you feel like it broke the franchise or ruined your childhood, you're wrong. So there you go.
You're sure wrong.
That's my number six, The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
What do you got? What do you got, Renee, for your number six?
For number six, it would have to be. Oh no, mine's number five.
It's confusing me.
No, number five was actually a movie that made on my list last minute when I went to go see it, actually, was Coco.
Ah!
Coco was
the top five.
Which, for me, Coco was one of the movies that I didn't even expect to put on my list of best movies of 2017.
Yeah.
But I went to go see it with Jake here, and I went to go see it with Patrick and Justine. And we just went to go see it on a whim, and I was like, okay, I'll go see Coco because everyone keeps telling me it's good. I feel like when people tell me movies that are super, super good in my head, because that's what happened to me with Avatar. When people told me about Avatar, they're like, you gotta go see Avatar. Yeah. It's super good. And I saw it. I was like, underwhelming.
Mm-hmm. Very underwhelming.
Yeah, and I think it was another one.
But visually stunning.
There was other movies. But with Coco, I was like, okay, but it's a Pixar movie. I'm going to enjoy it. I didn't expect to love Coco.
Yeah.
I think because for me, you know, I'm also Hispanic, so it's like, you know, I can relate with a lot of the Hispanic heritage. And then also, it also dwells with losing a family member, which obviously I can relate to as well. It hit those heartstrings very well for me, and it made me cry twice.
Yeah.
And I remember you told me when after I went to go see it, you told me that, oh, wait, Renee's going to go see Coco. You're like, uh-oh.
Yeah. I
saw it, and I was like, yep, it hit me.
But in a good way.
No, in a good way. That's the thing. It made, you know, the whole, you know, family thing, losing a family member as well. It didn't, you know, make me feel mad. It made me feel like, oh my God, yeah, this is beautiful.
Yeah.
Music was great.
Yeah.
I love the characters.
And it's the message is like, you know, whether or not you believe that there is land of the dead or whether or not you believe there's heaven or whatever, the idea that you keep people alive by remembering them.
Yeah.
You know, your memory of, you know, of the family members that have gone on, you tell those stories to your cousins or your kids or your grandkids or whatever, and that keeps them alive.
Yeah.
That's such a beautiful idea.
It is.
And it's destroying in China right now, and people are kind of surprised. But if you think about the fact that in China, they venerate their ancestors.
Yeah.
Their ancestors are, you know, given the position of almost, you know, like deities in the Chinese, in the culture. Mm-hmm. It's like, of course a movie like that's going to resonate you know.
We get a feel for that. Disney already does, like, touch on that in Mulan.
Yeah.
You know, you have to respect your ancestors. You have to respect the ones that, your elders that are now passed away. You got to remember them and stuff like that. And I think Disney did a good job with this one as well, with Coco.
And it's beautifully done.
Yeah.
It's one of the, I was watching, we took my mom to see it, and I went to see it again, and I was noticing how many huge crowds are in this movie and how well animated it is. I'm telling you, it gave me chills the second time when he looks up and he first sees the Land of the Dead, and you see how
the colors
and the colors,
and everything's detailed.
It takes up the entire screen. It's like, wow, this is just. And they even do a little preview in the beginning where they say, hey, you know, this scene took forever and whatever. And they even show you what it's going to look like. And it doesn't even do it justice when you finally see it in the movie.
Yeah.
There's so many details and so many big crowds, and everybody's individually animated. And of course, yes, you're doing it with a computer, but There's so much attention to detail in the Land of the Dead itself, in the city. Yeah. It's amazing. So, that's a great choice for top for your
top
final.
Five. Yeah, it definitely cracks top five. For
it
me.
Won. I think it won Best Animated Picture.
Golden Globe, right?
Yeah.
Golden
Globe. That's good. Yeah.
All right, sir. What do you got for your number five?
Jake? My number five is Thor Ragnarok.
There you go.
There you go.
It shot up. It's in your top five.
It is. Oh. It was. You know, it was just a really fun. It was just a really fun Marvel movie.
Fun, funny.
Very fun, very funny. It almost felt like a buddy cop
yeah.
film.
Yeah. Felt like very much like the first Guardians of the Galaxy for me.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And then having the Hulk definitely. And making the Hulk funny and
yeah.
they're a good duo.
The Hulk is actually, you know, not a bumbling idiot. He can actually speak and he has his own thoughts and feelings
yeah,
separate
it's, what,
from
how many years into the universe we're getting now?
Mm-hmm.
Like 8 years into the universe and like Hulk. Before it was like maybe 2 years ago, he was still kind of just like talking maybe one word in
smash.
The movies. Yeah, smash. And now he can finally speak and communicate with the Avengers, and it's great.
My favorite gag, and I can say it now because it's been a long time, my favorite gag is they made fun of the whole, hey, big guy.
Oh, yeah.
Sun's going down. Yeah.
Big guy. No.
Going down
oh,
again.
My God.
I love how they acknowledge how kind of ridiculous,
ridiculous
that was.
That is. And yeah. he tries to bust
coming
that
out of Thor.
Yeah.
Chris Hemsworth is having fun saying it.
I know.
Hey, big guy.
Hey, big guy.
Sun's going down.
And he's Sun's rubbing
Sun's
his shoulders.
Sun's going down, big guy.
He's rubbing his shoulders. Sun's getting real low. He's
All right. My number five, my number cinco. Was a little more serious. And I was telling Renee over here, Renee was saying that Renee has certain criteria for judging which movies make his top list
yeah.
every year.
Yeah.
My criteria is always, I'm always torn between stuff I appreciate visually, like I appreciate what goes into making a movie. They might not resonate with me emotionally, yeah. but I can appreciate the craftsmanship that goes into
okay,
it.
Yeah.
And this is very definitely one of those movies. It's made by a filmmaker who would... Some have compared to Stanley Kubrick mostly because he is also a bit on the cold side. He's not exactly a warm filmmaker. You don't think of his films as being warm, having yeah. a lot of warmth, or the characters very warm. Mm-hmm. But it was Dunkirk, Christopher Nolan, Dunkirk.
I haven't seen that, actually.
Again, some people found it hard to follow. All of the soldiers look very generic, which I think he did purposely to kind of give it more of a documentary feel.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of have a hard time... telling some people apart sometimes.
Okay.
And he chose a different way to tell the story like he always does.
Yeah.
But if you look at everything that went into making the movie and the way it was done, and some of the shots are just beautifully done.
Mm-hmm.
The cinematography is beautiful. And it's just, I saw it, I got a chance to see it in true IMAX. It was incredible in IMAX. So, it's not the warmest movie
yeah.
out there, but still, from a filmmaking standpoint.
Yeah.
It was pretty amazing. So I'm gonna put it in my top. It cracks the top five for me.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
So now it's
you're number four, Renee.
Yes, number four.
Yep, you're number four.
Number four is what I think you said already earlier is Last Jedi.
There you go.
Number four for me, Last Jedi, doesn't make number one list. You know, I did enjoy it, but it had its moments. I think one of the moments I think that gives it a notch down. For me, is the Leia scene with, obviously we can say it.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah. Is the Leia scene
the Mary
where
Poppins
she pulls?
Scene.
Yeah, the Mary Poppins scene is where.
And you know what? It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me that she did it. It just looked like it wasn't finished.
Yeah.
It looked like it was an animatic. Like this is what's gonna happen, and they yeah. just left that in the.
Like yeah, I think that's why. And then how they treat it, where she opens her eyes in space, mind you, and then she just kind of moves, kind of just gradually, and I'm just like.
I don't see again. The Force being because Obi-Wan says the Force surrounds us,
yeah.
binds us, right?
Yeah.
If the Force surrounds you, you think of it as a force
okay.
field. But I mean, like yeah. I can see why that would work. To me, again, it didn't bother me
yeah.
that she did it. It just bothered me that it looked unfinished.
yeah.
You know that, and the fact that the whole horse race stampede thing, mm-hmm. that really. Those two scenes took it down. They would have
yeah.
been at my top.
I still enjoyed that.
It scene. Would have been my top. It would have hit my yeah. top five, except for those two.
And I didn't mind the whole Finn and Rose subplot. You know, I thought that was interesting. You know, and people will say it.
I don't mind the subplot. It's
yeah.
just that sequence.
Yeah, no,
did
the,
not
yeah.
need to be like.
That's true.
It yeah. goes on way too long.
No, it does. And then, but what I see, I'm going on what I didn't like about it. But what I really enjoyed was, Kylo and Rey's relationship, how it's treated, where it's like these two opponents essentially are talking through the Force, which was amazing. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is great. They're seeing each other through the Force, and they can't physically hit each other, so they have to verbally talk to each other. Yeah. They have to talk to each other because they see each other. And I think that the whole like dialogue between them two is really good.
Yes.
Between good and evil, you're like, okay, you know, we're getting her perspective, but then we're also getting his perspective on what happened and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And Luke Skywalker was a great element to add on to mm-hmm. this movie, where we get to see finally where Luke is after 30 years mm-hmm. after Return of the Jedi, and to see him that he's a broken hero is a great. I loved it. Top four. I mean, number four for me, Last Jedi. Completely loved it. I think, I don't know.
Stop complaining here.
Yeah, stop complaining. I still get triggered. I put air quotes. I want people just bash on this movie.
I know. You know? It's. I think, like I said, in due time, it'll get its.
I feel like when people say Last Jedi is terrible movie of all, terrible Star Wars movie, I'm like, they just want to forget about the prequels. Yeah. Like, I still think Attack of the Clones is the worst Star Wars movie. If I have to choose a worst Star Wars movie,
yeah, you're probably right.
I feel Attack of the Clones is the worst one. Number one
is pretty bad, though.
We all loved it when it came out, though.
That's the thing. I think Phantom Menace, for me, what makes up for it is the last scene with the lightsaber scene with Darth Maul and Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan.
Have you seen a breakdown of the choreography?
Of the Phantom, of the prequels? Of
that last fight scene?
No.
In episode one?
No.
Where their lightsabers literally never meet once during the whole fight?
Oh, yeah. No, but then did you ever?
Is that true?
Look it up. They'll show it where it's like you'll see when they're spinning around their lightsaber and stuff. It's like they're nowhere near each other when they're spinning around.
Well, there's a scene in Revenge of the Sith when I think it's Obi-Wan and Anakin when they're fighting. They're literally standing on a table, and that for like 10 or less than 5 seconds, they're just twirling lightsabers at each other. They're not making contact. They're literally going.
Why I appreciated the Last Jedi's final lightsaber scene.
Yes.
I'll talk about that later.
All right. All right. You're number four.
Number four is going to be Logan.
Oh, okay.
Logan.
I thought Logan was great. I love Wolverine as a character. So it's nice. It's nice to finally see him towards the end of his life,
mm-hmm.
where it's not really a spoiler at this point.
Anyway. No, right?
It's like
out.
Where he's
that movie's
he's
been
starting
out
to
since
get sick.
April.
The adamantium in him is finally starting to wear down on his body, and so he's dying and he's getting sick. And Professor Xavier is starting to go senile, and so it basically it's these iconic X-Men characters. You're seeing them at their weakest point,
mm-hmm.
and I thought that was really. It's a really awesome perspective to see, because when you see superheroes, you think of them as like these strong, powerful people mm-hmm. who at the end of the movie end up defeating whatever bad guy they end up doing. It's like, well, that's not always the case.
Yeah.
They're actually human beings and they're real people who are, you know, they die at some point.
Yeah,
they have to. Right.
And I thought X-23, the girl who played X-23, Laura, I forget the name of the actress.
Oh, I don't know the name of the actress.
But she did a fantastic job, and she was kind of like the beacon of hope throughout the whole movie.
Yeah.
She was like the spark of the new generation of X-Men, and I thought that was really, it was great.
It was really well done. It was a great way to say goodbye to that character.
It was, an amazing send-off for not only Logan, but for Professor Xavier.
Gave him a little bit of peace at the end of his life, like, mm-hmm. yeah. And then remember that Justine laughed.
Laughed when Professor Xavier did.
All right.
So there's that.
My number four, rocketing to the top five after seeing it right after we recorded our last episode, my wife and I went to see it. Oh. It's The Shape of Water, Guillermo del Toro.
Oh, really?
It's his take on the Beauty and the Beast story.
Oh, it is.
Okay. And it is not Ape Sapien, but it is a creature very much like the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Ooh.
I loved that it was a man in a suit.
Uh-huh.
I love that
it was not CGI.
The same guy who plays Ape Sapien plays him. Yeah,
that's why they're saying it was Ape Sapien.
Yeah, but it's not him. It's definitely
it's him, but not him.
It's definitely the creature from the Black Lagoon without it. Saying it's the creature from the Black Lagoon, but same thing. They find him in the Amazon.
It's bloody though, right? Like
It's a little violent.
The creature is
Dwight Schrute's evil twin who played General Zod. What's that actor's name? You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
I can't think of it. He is an excellent villain.
Okay.
It is fantastic. You know, Guillermo del Toro has a certain look, has a certain aesthetic.
Love his aesthetic.
And in this movie, and it's, you know what's surprising? This isn't just a monster movie. It is also kind of a, like a tribute to old Hollywood. And there's very much, you see a lot of him kind of tipping his hat to some of the influences and some of the movies that he liked when he was a kid. Not necessarily just monster movies, though. And there is a scene that has people talking. Because
what?
This takes a Beauty and the Beast story to its logical, what's the word I'm looking
conclusion?
For?
Conclusion?
To its logical extent. Yeah. Uh-huh. So let's say Beauty and the Beast, if Beauty and the Beast fall, if they fall in love, like in Disney's Beauty and the Beast,
and he never
changes form, and let's say they get married,
you there's some
eventually,
laws.
Eventually you have to start.
How are they
going to
go to Pound Town?
Yeah. So this answers that question
for
you.
Really?
Yes. So, but yeah. And there was, it was funny because there was a group of ladies who were very much, they were a bunch of pearl clutchers sitting next to us. And we came out there like, what did we just watch? Oh my goodness, I can't believe it. And their poor nephew who told them to go see it was there.
How
and he had
nephew?
Already seen it.
Oh, okay.
He was probably in his early 20s. And he goes, yeah, it's like a different take on a monster movie. Yeah. Like, and they were just grilling
not
him.
They
were just grilling him. And I was waiting for my wife to come out of the bathroom. And my wife said when she was in the restroom, they were like, I can't believe we just watched that. What did we just see? And then so when they were hammering the poor guy, I go, ladies, to be fair, when you come out of your Julia Roberts movies, you probably aren't discussing the movie this much. You've probably forgotten it by the time you hit the door.
Now, is that what you actually said?
That's exactly what I said.
Good.
It's exactly what I said. You know, I said, so, you know, give it some slack. You're still going to be thinking about it in about a week. So that's a sign, I think, of a good movie.
For good or for bad.
For better or for worse, you got something out of the movie. But
you know what's funny is that my grandmother, she watches, like, all these talkie-y movies and all these kind of little... She'll watch a rom-com once in a while.
Uh-huh.
But she likes, you know, like... movies that are portrayed either with historical value or something that touches onto something that's very serious in a matter. So she watches like all the Oscar-worthy movies.
Yeah, my
grandmother. I think it was 2 years ago. We had her over for Thanksgiving. And I think one day we put on Jurassic World.
Uh-huh.
And my grandmother literally watched it. And she said, that was actually really good. And we're like, you want to watch something else? She goes, yeah, but do you have something that's kind of like out there like that? Maybe?
there.
I showed her Guardians of the Galaxy. She loved that too. And she's like, oh yeah, I totally loved it. Like, it's totally different from what I've watched.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's why you like it. Because... she was getting tired of watching the same premise, same basic.
Well, it's always heavy too.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just want to watch. Shape of Water is just it's a beautifully done film.
Yeah.
It's not heavy, but it has serious moments.
Yeah.
It's very well acted.
Yeah.
And you'll love it. Mm-hmm. Guillermo del Toro he's a great storyteller.
Yeah, he is.
And this is one of those movies where you're like, that is a guy who knows how to tell a story, visually.
Yeah.
And it's great. So check it out. It's really fun. It's really good. You'll like it. If you like monster movies at all, if you like Guillermo del Toro at all, you'll like it.
Oh, yeah.
For
definitely.
Sure. So it's The Shape of Water is my number four. Okay. So now we're on to your number three, Renee.
Number three for me would have to be Spider-Man Homecoming. It makes top five for me because it's a Spider-Man movie that I actually... I've actually watched multiple times. I bought it on Blu-ray, and I can't stop on watching it.
Did you see that? What? Yeah. Something just ran by. It was weird. Hit the table.
I love it.
It was really good. I loved it, and it's a final... It's a movie where we finally get to see Peter Parker in high school and dealing with teenager stuff, but then also dealing with... Because, okay, I started rewatching it, and what makes me love it even more is that in the movie Spider-Man Homecoming, I'm realizing that he's trying to do good, but then he's also making a lot of mistakes where all this stuff he's
just
trying
like
to
a
stop,
teenager.
Yeah, all this stuff, like the boat sinking or even like the elevator about to drop with his friends, those are all of his doing. That he's trying to fix.
Yeah.
Because he's trying to become a superhero, but he's making these big, big mistakes that cost people's lives. I love it because it's like, oh, like you said, how that's how a teenager would do.
Yeah. And that's what I always loved about Spider-Man. When I tell people that Spider-Man is my favorite, somebody asks me, they go, how is Spider-Man your favorite?
Yeah.
He's like a kid and he's, you know, and I go, that's the point.
Yeah.
The point is that he's not Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
He's a kid who's barely holding it together and somehow still has enough, he's got enough character to say, I still need to do the right thing,
yeah.
and I still need to help people. Well, meanwhile, my life is crumbling, and I've got, you know. I love that about Spider-Man. Yeah. I love that he's going to do good no matter what, and he's going to try his hardest, and he doesn't always win.
Yeah,
but he will. He doesn't give up, and he'll always. I'm looking at the poster behind you of him fighting Doc Ock.
Doc Ock, Superior Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah. But we love you, Spidey. Yeah. You're the best.
Love Spider-Man.
Yeah, I loved Homecoming, and the only reason it wasn't higher was because there were more movies for me that that kind of hit me in a different spot.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was so glad to see Spidey back, and that's why I kind of felt cheap doing it, making it a tie with Wonder Woman. Yeah. But I liked those movies a lot, and I feel like they both deserved to have a spot in the top 10. So, but I loved it. I agree with you. It was great. It was the Spider-Man movie we've been waiting for a long time. What do you got for your number 3?
Number 3 for me is Coco.
There you go.
It was just such a visually stunning movie. The story was great. I mean, it was not only about, you know, family and, you know, you need to respect your family, and if you forget about them, they're, you know,
gone forever.
They're gone forever.
Yeah.
But it was also about him and how, I forget the kid's name.
Manuel. No, Miguel.
Miguel.
Why did you say Manuel?
It was about Miguel following his dreams and how that you don't always need approval from your family. You need to be true to who you are kind of thing. And that resonated with me on top of being the whole family thing and crying 2-3 times. It was really good.
Yeah.
It was probably, I would say it's Pixar's most visually stunning movie.
Yeah, it's amazing. Again, watching it again and seeing the amount of detail and the crowds and things like that. And it kind of followed a lot of the same Pixar tropes, but it also, because you know the points it's going to hit, that allows you to kind of just kind of relax and not worry about what's coming next and just enjoy everything. And just, it was visually stunning. And there was a lot of heart.
Yeah.
All right. My number 3. And again, this is a movie that I sat down when I first saw it and I said, wow, this is a different experience. I don't know exactly what's going on, but I like this. And then when I ended up going to see it again because I loved it, and I told everybody, I was talking about this movie all summer. It was my favorite movie of the summer, and that is Baby Driver.
Mm-hmm.
Edgar Wright's crime epic, Baby Driver.
Mm-hmm.
All of the car chases, the gunfights, everything is set to music. Great soundtrack. Mm-hmm. Songs you've never heard of, or a lot of songs that you won't always, they don't necessarily leap to mind, but visually well done, and just a lot of fun, and you know, a good time at the movies, and very different than a lot of other movies out there, especially a lot of other action movies. So Baby Driver was my number 3. All right, we're down to number 2. Renee, what do you got for your number 2?
Number 2 will have to be for me, Get Out.
Yes.
Get Out
has to be number 2 for me because it was a really good movie done by a very favorite comedian of mine, Jordan Peele.
Mm-hmm.
I followed the show Key and Peele, and I was so happy to hear that he's making a directorial debut in a thriller.
Yeah.
Because he always said that his favorite types of movies were like The Shining.
Yeah.
The Stanley Kubrick movies that really dwell on not just scaring you physically, like, you know, like just scaring you, but also messing with your head a bit. And he did it in a beautiful way in Get Out, dealing with racism a bit, and then also kind of just making that psychological thriller really making it intense for you to watch for this character in general.
Yeah.
Because you're really rooting for him, and you're watching it throughout the end, and when the movie's about to end, you think it's going to end one way, and you're like, no, wait, no, and like everything he's been through. And it just, because I heard Jordan Peele's original ending for it was supposed to be like a more,
like
darker,
a downer ending.
Yeah, downer. And he had to liven it up because test screens didn't work out. And he reshot it, and it was a good, I thought it was a beautiful ending. I was like, yes, finally. Okay, good.
Yeah.
So I love Get Out. I've seen it multiple times and will continue seeing it multiple times because until he makes another movie, basically. Yeah.
What do you got for number dose?
Number dose for me.
We got Jake.
It's going to be Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yes.
Yeah, man.
It's just a wonderful rendition of Spider-Man. This is the most humanized that they've made Spider-Man so far.
Mm-hmm.
Because I kind of liked the Tobey Maguire ones.
Yeah.
I liked those, yes.
But wasn't a huge fan of Tobey Maguire himself, so I didn't really particularly take like those two match. What was the other guy's name? The second dude?
Andrew Garfield.
Andrew Garfield.
They had Andrew Garfield Spider-Man, who I thought was pretty good, but kind of felt a little bit off. And then now this new kid, who I forget the name of.
Tom Holland.
Tom Holland,
who's not a kid.
Justine's boyfriend.
He's like 20-something, right?
Yeah, let's just call him as he is, Justine's boyfriend.
Justine's boyfriend.
Yeah. He just turned 21.
He's just like the best iteration of Spider-Man that we've seen so far. Definitely. And the way it was written, it just is like, you make Spider-Man in the comics is a teenager, mm-hmm. and he feels like he's a teenager.
Yeah.
Teenagers fuck up.
Yeah.
Teenagers do stupid shit. And they try to fix it, and it ends up making things worse.
Yep. Yeah. And that's, I'm like, and that's when we get the
that's
whole thing.
That's who Spider-Man is. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man is just a teenager who just happens to have superpowers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were thrust upon him. He didn't want it.
No,
he
didn't.
It wasn't like
want
he was living
it.
His
wasn't
life.
Asking for
no.
it.
He wasn't asking for it. Yeah. And it's just like, I never asked for this. But again, because he's a person of good character, he makes the best of it. And he's like, okay, I can use this for, you know. Yeah. And I think that Tom Holland catches that kind of. That youthful exuberance.
Definitely.
I think it's great. Right. And let me tell you, this is my favorite scene in the whole Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
Because it's so real. He's on the building,
uh-huh.
and it's kind of a callback to the Sam Raimi one,
yeah.
which Sam Raimi himself was kind of spoofing Superman.
Uh-huh.
And it's a scene where Spider-Man's sitting on the building and there's like the American flag in the background. Right? So they kind of do that scene where he's standing up in front of the flag and then they see his voice off screen go, "Hey, you're that Spider-Man guy from YouTube."
Yeah.
He's like, "Do a flip." Like, it's like, that's the most New York thing ever.
Okay,
like,
Spider-Man.
Okay, you're the Spider-Man. Do a flip. Like, okay, Spider-Man. Like, prove you're Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And then once he does it, they love him. They're like, yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Like, the other guy's like, that was pretty good. Like, but like, that to me was such a real moment. Like, that's exactly what would happen. And he's just like, hey, you
in
know.
In real life.
Yeah. Like, hey, Batman. Like, you know, climb that building.
Yeah.
Like, you just want to.
Use your grapple gun.
Like, you want to see him do something. Like, that to me really, like, that endeared me to that movie.
Definitely.
Where it was like, that's such a great moment because it's so real. Like,
well, I think, what makes Spider-Man Homecoming really good, and I still have to say it's a better Spider-Man movie out of all of them,
mm-hmm.
because we actually get him to see do the little things he does in New York City.
Yeah,
that's what it focuses on,
like saving saving bikes and
helping old ladies find their way.
He's not trying to save New York.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
trying to save, like,
he's your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And then when he does something where it involves him saving, well, like the future of the world, you know. And it's on that big scale. You get to see him trying to go, triumph over that. It's good.
I was really worried with them having Tony Stark, but I liked that they kind of went with him being his mentor.
Yeah.
That worked out really well. And what makes the movie great, we haven't mentioned it yet, is Michael Keaton, such a good bad guy.
Oh, he's awesome.
And he has great motive. They give him an arc. They give him this motivation. You know, he's this guy. He has a business. His business gets taken away.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, he's going to do what he can for his family, like anybody would.
Yeah.
He just happens to be on the wrong side of the law.
Yeah.
I think those are the best villains.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that you can sympathize with.
The villains who don't necessarily think they're bad. They think that what they're doing is, it's like Khan in Wrath of Khan. He doesn't think he's bad.
No.
Yeah. It's like, you guys exiled me. Of course, I have to avenge myself on you. That's what I do. Like, that's what I was genetically introduced. So he doesn't think of himself as bad. It's like, you're the one that exiled me.
Yeah.
Like, you're the bad guy, Kirk. Like, so that's why it's great. Like, you're trying to stop me, Spider-Man. You're taking food off of my plate or my kid's plate, you know? So I can't have that, and I'll kill you if I have to, you know? It's just he's that. So that's what makes it great. And he's so, Michael Keaton's so good in that.
Does.
In that scene in the car when he drops off the frog.
Oh, man. When he's piecing it together, you feel like, you're like, oh, crap, he's figuring it out.
Yeah.
And then, like, I think what makes it great was the scene where when the green light shows up and he looks at Peter and goes, good old Spider-Man there to save the day.
Yeah.
And the whole timing of that, it's like when the green light flashes on his face, you know he got it right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
He knew Peter Parker was Spider-Man. You're like, oh, this is great.
Good times.
I also liked the scene where he was under the collapsing building.
Oh,
and he was
that
trying
was
to get out.
Good scene.
And he was just.
He's crying.
Yeah.
Broken, frustrated teenager.
Yeah.
Where he, like.
Yeah.
That. Like, just totally lost who he was. It's like, help, I can't get out. He's like, wait,
Because he's still a kid. Because he's still a kid. Like, yeah, he's still struggling with those feelings. Man, that was a... I might have to move it up higher. Now that we're talking about
it. No, it's a good movie. Good. I think because, you know, Spider-Man... Because people tell me Spider-Man Homecoming wasn't that great. I'm like, no, but the thing is, story-wise and character development... If anything, it's a very underrated movie because people are not really looking into... the whole Spider-Man aspect of it.
It was very true to the character, and it was a lot of what we wanted to see.
And it didn't need a big action sequence at the end.
That's why the end kind of bummed me out. Yeah. Because you didn't need the thing on the plane. It was a Wonder Woman thing. It was the same thing with the Wonder Woman thing. Yeah. Everything up to that was so wonderful. Like, I loved it. And the humor came from, like, a real place.
Yeah.
And so it was a bummer that they kind of had to do. But I feel like that's what people...
No, with the general audience,
that's what they think people want, you know? Yeah. So, all right. So we're down to our number ones. So I will go first. My number one was Get Out. And we're down to number two.
Oh, okay.
Well, everybody knows my number one was Get Out.
I was going to say.
Number two was Coco.
Okay.
And let me tell you, for a second there,
because
Get Out was number one for the longest time, and then Baby Driver came out, and I was like, this might be the one. And then Coco hit, and I was like, what if Coco's my number one?
Coco was really the one that came out that was very...
out of left field.
I didn't know what to expect.
I was worried culturally that they were going to mess things up, and they ended up adding even more than I thought to all the Frida jokes and all the references to people like Santo and Pedro Infante and Cantinflas. Those were just added bonuses. But
icing on the cake.
We've discussed it already. There's a lot of heart in this movie. It's respectful to the culture. It tells a great story, and it's a movie that you can go with your whole family, honestly, and enjoy.
Yeah.
We took my mom. My mom's 84 years old. My grandma looks like my grandma in the movie.
Yeah.
My mom thought the grandma was mean, which I thought was ironic. I told my daughter, I don't know what this woman's talking about. She's out of her head.
Because
she did way worse to me than break my guitar. I will tell you that.
Yeah.
Does the Hot Wheel track beating ring a bell, Mom?
She beat you with her Hot Wheel track.
Really? Well, tell us.
Which was my birthday present. So on top of that.
She beat you with your own birthday present.
I left my Hot Wheel track out. Okay. It was the loop-to-loop one.
How old were you?
You know the Hot Wheel track, the orange one?
Yeah.
How old were you?
I was probably like 6 or 7.
Okay.
I left it out.
Yeah.
Right? Left it on the living room floor. Uh-huh. My mom comes out with a laundry basket. She's already done the laundry.
Yeah.
It's folded.
Now, she's in that mode of
keep in mind, my mom vacuums the house no less than 9 times a day. So just, there's no dust, like literally no dust. Yeah. You could have allergies and live with my mother. You'll be fine because there's no dust. There's no pollen. There's nothing.
Good.
She comes out. She comes tearing through the living room, gets her foot caught in the loop of the... And she trips and she drops the laundry.
Folded up and everything. Yeah.
So now, being my mom, she can't just fold and put away. Now you have to wash it all again. So my mom's like, she starts swearing at me in Spanish. Cabrón, hijo de su chingada madre. She grabs the thing and like it's already, she already like kicked it apart now, right?
It's like a makeshift belt.
So now it's like a belt. It's like a belt. She just
gave her a weapon.
She comes at me with a belt like whoosh, whoosh. And like gets, you know, she gets me a couple of good times, and I'm like, yeah, the grandma in Coco is mean, Mom, because she breaks the guitar. She didn't hit it over his head. Yeah. She didn't, you know, she didn't like take the splinters and jam them under his fingernails.
Might as well have.
Yeah. So she whispers to my, she's wondering about it. She goes, oh, that grandma's so mean. I was like, yeah, that grandma's mean, Mom. But yeah, just great storytelling, Bravo Pixar, because again, it kind of hits some of the Pixar tropes, but it was still very entertaining and visually just there's always a lot going on. It's just a beautiful movie to look at too.
What was another anime movie that came out between or a little after Coco? There was another anime movie, wasn't there?
Oh, there was Ferdinand.
Ferdinand?
Ferdinand.
Oh, okay. My dad Peter wanted Cotton to take tail. My niece out for a movie, and he asked me, he goes, like, what movie could we go see? Coco. She wanted to go see one movie, but I told him about Coco, and I was like, no, Dad, you got to take her to go see Coco, because Coco's really good, and you are going to be sitting down, and my dad's, you know, my dad, you lose him in one, like, the beginning of the movie, he's falling asleep, and I'm like, no, Dad, you'll like Coco, too, as well, too, and he went to go see it with my niece, and they came back, and they were like, yeah, it was really good, but... We started to cry towards the end. I'm like,
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, my.
You're a human being.
Because you're a human being.
Yeah. So it showed that my dad does have a heart. It's not a black heart.
That was a test.
That was a test of his humanity. Yeah, for me, and he came back. He said, "Yeah, I was trying to not cry." And I'm like, "That's even harder because you're crying even more inside." Yeah. But then he looked over at my niece at the one. Obviously, we all know if you've seen Coco at the end, you know what scene I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And he looks over at my niece, and she's there's like a single tear.
My
going
daughter
down
was
her
eyes. Sobbing.
Yeah,
like ugly, curled up in the recliner in the movie theater, like sobbing.
She's seen Justine.
Which you saw,
Dean was like curled up in a ball.
Patrick was tearing too, but he was like trying to hold it together. Me and Jake looked at each other. We were just crying.
We looked at each other. Like, yeah. Sobbing, like.
We looked at each other. We're like, okay, he's crying too.
Okay, I feel better.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God, that's the only one crying.
That's great. All right. Now, what's your number two?
No, number one for me.
Oh, yeah, number one.
Number one for me. Was a movie that I went to see on a whim, and I saw the trailer. I was like, oh, it looks good and stuff like that. And I just fell in love with it when I saw it in the theaters, was Baby Driver.
There you go.
Loved Baby Driver. Favorite movie of 2017 because it was a movie that shocked me story-wise and what happened to certain characters and how it ended. And just all around how I had fun watching the movie.
Yep.
It was a movie that I had fun watching, and I love watching it over and over again and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Music was great. It made me into music that I normally don't listen to, but when I heard it in Baby Driver, I fell in love with it, and I listened to other bands like that as well, too. It expanded my music horizon.
Oh, that's awesome.
Definitely. And I just love Baby Driver as number one. That's my number one of 2017.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Good choice. What do you got, Jacquet?
I think you can figure out what number one is.
What is it, man?
It is going to be Star Wars.
Star Wars, Last Jedi.
Last Jedi is your number one.
You know what?
You are really giving it to the haters, man. You're like, screw you, haters.
What I love about Star Wars is that the first, Force Awakens, it kept it very safe.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, this is what everybody likes about Star Wars, so we are going to make you guys a Star Wars movie.
Mm-hmm.
This one was, okay, we made you your Star Wars movie. Now let's, all those expectations that you have, let's break those expectations. Let's push the boundaries into like what you think a Star Wars movie is. It's just there are so many tropes that Star Wars movies have established that they messed with. Like, I don't, if I'll just spoil it.
It's been out when
the Star Destroyer is firing down on the transport ships for the Resistance.
Yeah.
It's like, that is the very last of the Resistance, and normally expect, oh, you know, they'll make it out somehow, but they make it seem like it's such a bleak moment.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, this is the Resistance, and you just see them getting fired down on. How Poe, you know, the reckless ace pilot, and there, you know, always somehow tries to make it out alive, and it's like, no, this is not how it works.
Definitely, yeah.
He ended up losing half of their fighters, and it's like, that's not, you can't just go in there and, you know, just be a good pilot and expect to make it out okay.
Yeah.
It's like, no, these are all human beings. These are all people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it just kind of showed you a different perspective of, they always showed the positive side of the Star Wars movies. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you know, all these people are dying, but you know, it's okay because the Resistance, and you know, we're the good guys. Everything's going to be okay. It's like, no, it's not. It's not always okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not always okay. There are sacrifices that have to be made. And sometimes you need to make,
I think,
the right choices.
Part of the reason that, a thing that people have also, I think another problem that people have with this movie is that it shows you that it kind of negates everything that was accomplished in the original trilogy. So, mm-hmm. like, you know, they blew up the Death Star, and now for what? Now they're back on the run again.
Mm-hmm. That's what happens sometimes.
But that's what happens sometimes, man. Yeah. That's what happens when you're fighting evil.
Yeah.
Like, it's probably the most realistic emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
Of all the Star Wars movies, and I appreciate that. I like that about it. It made it, for me, it was a grown up Star Wars movie.
And I loved it.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Obviously, because it's my number one. But
number one, yeah. Again, like, there were just so many other movies that, I think it's because it's a Star Wars movie, and even though it was different, you know, I already, you know, I kind of, there were other movies that kind of hit me differently because of, they were different just experiences.
Yeah.
I still have the same feeling I get when I watch a Star Wars movie, which is awesome.
That's good.
Which is awesome. And And I liked that it was, they changed things. I did like that they moved a lot of things up. And like now we, none of us know what's going to happen, which is awesome.
Yeah.
I like not knowing, okay, here comes the big battle and they kill the bad guy and they got to do this and they got to do that. We have no idea what they're going to do with this one.
Well, I, and then I was telling people too about Last Jedi, I think, because, you know, this movie literally takes place like right after Force Awakens. And I think what makes it really interesting is that this movie is a bridge between Force Awakens and the next third installment of this new saga. You know, it's basically we're seeing where the characters are going to be progressing and then how where they're going to be at now in the last movie, which is good.
Well, we'll see where we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I think people...
I think Laura Dern's still alive. Life finds a way.
Yeah. Yeah, even though she was the one who sent the... transport ship careening into the entire fleet, right?
Yeah, you know what bugs me is everybody's like, well, why didn't they just do that before? And it's like, well, first, you have to be really desperate to like kamikaze yourself,
right?
Like, it's not just like, oh yeah, they should they just be doing that left and right and destroying ships. Not if you don't have that many ships,
and not if you have done that, if you don't have enough people to do it,
and not if people aren't volunteering to do it. Like,
and most people wouldn't. Who would willingly volunteer to kill themselves in order to save
that's
a bunch
what I'm
of
saying.
Yeah,
not that's, many people no. would
that's
do that.
That's what I'm saying. It has to be desperate circumstances. Yeah. So that's just a dumb argument. You think they'd be doing it all the time? No, I don't think they'd be doing it all the time. It made sense because there was literally no alternative, and she was watching her friends get picked off because they were defenseless.
And she was just sitting there.
Yeah, so it's like
watching it all happen.
Yeah,
yeah, because originally, she, the First Order wasn't supposed to pick up the. The original plan was that they weren't supposed to pick up the escape pods going to that planet.
Yeah.
They thought they were cloaked or they thought they were good.
Until Benicio del Toro sold them out.
Yeah, sold them out and then saw that, you know, they were escaping. That's why she did what she did, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was
be a distraction.
Yeah.
But then she realized she needed to be more than that, you know?
I mean, she probably figured she was going to die anyway, which was the only reason she made the jump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the only reason. She was going to die either way.
Yeah.
But if there was a chance that you would get out, you would take it, right? Mm-hmm. You'd obviously, right. Anybody would be like, well, I'm going to try to. Anyway, it's number one time, guys.
Oh, for you, yeah.
For me.
I thought you already said number one.
No. My number one movie, total surprise, was Get Out.
Boss
Get
Baby.
Out.
Boss Baby.
Boss Baby.
Was Ferdinand the Bull. Get Out. We talked about it. I talked about it all year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Loved it. Yeah. It was an experience being in the movie. I was on pins and needles the whole time.
That was the one movie I didn't get to see in theaters. I wish I would have seen it in theaters.
It reminded me in the best way of seeing like Pulp Fiction, where I was just like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Like, what is? I somehow managed not to see any previews, and I just kept hearing that it was a good thriller.
Oh, okay.
And I knew that it was Jordan Peele, and I wanted to see it, and I knew what it was about, and I was like, I didn't know the deeper elements of the plot, but I knew basically what it was about.
Yeah.
And what I loved about it was a lot of the horror in the movie just came out of awkward social situations.
That's the thing, yeah.
And that's what, and it was just these little
and
things
I think
that
that's
just.
That's what makes it real, too.
That's what makes it real.
Yeah.
It's rooted in reality, it's rooted in situations that people of color in this country probably face all the time.
Yeah.
People just saying inappropriate things or making dumb jokes or saying things that they think are being complimentary and they're really just disrespectful.
Yeah.
And a lot of it just comes, that discomfort leads to the horror of what comes later on.
Basically.
And it's just a well done thriller. It's so good.
Yeah.
I loved it.
And then this was a really good like horror movie too, where the protagonist is like really smart, making the smart decisions where you would be like, yes, I would definitely do that. Or even decisions where I was like, no, you know what? I would never thought of that. Like the scene where you see him.
He's not making dumb.
Yeah.
But it's just that he's up against something that's so sinister and they've got experience doing what they're doing.
Yeah. And it's not his fault to get into that situation because he was duped in that situation, which I think we can all be honest, we all would have been duped in that situation. So him dealing with that and trying to escape, really good.
Yeah. I loved it. I loved it. And I cannot recommend it enough. It has remained my favorite movie. I said early on, if you go back and listen early on in the year, I go, this is going to be at the end of the year. I'm still going to be talking about this movie. And there was some competition from Coco. There was some competition from Baby Driver, Dunkirk, Shape of Water. All these were like, I had to really wrestle. But Get Out, that initial feeling gave me in the theater, just gave it the edge. So I stayed with my number one, Get Out. What about you, Renee? What was your number one?
Oh, my number one was Baby Driver.
What was your number one movie this year? Was it Get Out?
No, it was Baby Driver.
And your number one movie was Last Jedi?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have any other honorable mentions you wanted to...
I was thinking towards...
Anything that didn't make the top 10?
For me, top 10, obviously Wonder Woman. I was leaning towards if I should put it, because there was a lot of contenders for me that I could have put it at. I could have put it at number 5. I could have put it at maybe number 3. But I felt like the other movies that I put story-wise were better.
Okay.
Or where I enjoyed and had a shock top, like I was like really shocked. When I watched Wonder Woman, it was a good movie, don't get me wrong. I actually like Wonder Woman. It's a good DC movie as well too. But story-wise, it wasn't really shocking at all. Epicness though was great.
There were some
great moments.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about you? Well, Jake, you didn't see anything else.
That was literally all the movies that I saw. There were movies that I really do want to see this year. Yeah.
Like what?
Just want to take care of. I do want to see Dunkirk. Heard a lot of good things. Still need to see Get Out. I actually really want to see Alien Covenant.
It's
which
actually
I haven't had
not.
A chance to see.
It didn't make my top 10, but I didn't hate it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing. It's a better than Prometheus, obviously, but not my favorite Alien movie.
Okay.
There's still some stuff in there that I was like.
Yeah.
I think Ridley Scott just needs to like figure out, are you making an Alien movie or are you not making
an
Alien
he needs
movie?
To figure out his lore, honestly. Like,
yeah, the story's so convoluted.
He's messing with his lore a lot.
Yeah.
And you see it in Alien Covenant,
mm-hmm.
where you find out certain things. And then I felt kind of, not cheated, I felt kind of disappointed the direction he was going. But at the same time, character-wise was great. Alien Covenant had really great characters. Obviously, we had a Ridley-esque character in the movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But still really good, though.
We have my honorable mentions were Lego Batman, which was in my top 10 forever.
I talked about it.
It was in my top 10 forever.
Good. I finally saw it. It was good.
Great superhero movie, even though it's a kids movie.
Yeah.
And one of the best interpretations of Batman ever on the screen. The best interpretation of that relationship between Batman and his extended Bat family.
Yeah. Yes, it does. It
and
does
they really do a great job. Yeah. I finally saw Blade Runner 2049.
That was a contender in top 10.
I really want to see that.
But if I had seen it in the theater, it definitely would have made the top 10.
Yeah.
I think seeing it on a TV, even as nice as the TV is,
yeah.
It's
not the same.
It's not the same.
I saw it in theaters, and I've seen the first one, obviously. But I was watching it, and I was like, it's a beautifully shot movie. It's a beautifully scored movie. Characters are really good, but it's not better than the original.
Okay.
To me, because obviously, the original is good because you have Harrison Ford in it, and then just like but it had the same exact, almost exact ending where it's like, it kind of, you would think it was not almost the same ending where it's like it was gonna end like, oh, do you think it's, what do you think it is? Or
yeah,
do you
yeah.
think he really is who he says he
yeah,
is
yeah,
and
yeah.
stuff? But I don't know. The ending could have been a little bit better. That's why I was thinking.
Denis Villeneuve is a really great director visually. There's a lot of the visuals are really, really good. It picks up, years later after the initial Blade Runner.
Yeah.
And it takes you to different parts of that world.
Yeah.
So it expands that world.
Oh, definitely,
you're not
yeah.
just in Los Angeles. It takes its time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, it's not the snappiest movie. It's mm-hmm. 3 hours long. It didn't feel 3 hours long when I watched it. I was really interested in it, trying to figure out what was going on.
Yeah.
Amazingly enough, the weakest for me was Robin Wright. I thought she had like a weird, it was, her part was weird. I don't know.
It was.
And then another honorable mention for me, and this is like Oscar fodder here. It's a movie called Lost City of Z, which I mentioned
earlier. Oh, I've heard of that.
Charlie Hunnam, very slow burn, but worth checking out.
Okay.
An old style adventure movie based on a true story.
Okay.
That's definitely one that did not make the top 10 for me, but is up there.
Okay.
Again, I think if I had seen that in a movie theater, I probably would have liked a little bit better. Yeah. So that's it, guys. That's our 2017 wrap up. We'll have to get everybody's. We'll just, when everybody comes back in the studio, we'll ask them what their top 3 was.
Favorite movie.
Yeah, favorite movie.
Favorite movie. That you go.
There you go.
All right, guys. So, well, thanks for bearing with us for the last 3 weeks. We're sorry we've been absent. We'll be back again next week, hopefully with a full crew.
Mm-hmm.
But until then, we'd like to remind you, we're not going to have any closing music today.
Okay.
But we are going to, we will remind you that we want you to fight the power.
Mm-hmm.
And for Renee Bravo and for Jake Willard, we say, oh, Jake, what's your stream? Where do you want to stream people?
Oh, yeah. Come check me out over on twitch.tv/handsomedanhandsome.
And you can follow you on Twitter at Handsome Dan Handsome.
At Handsome Dan 93.
Oh, at Handsome Dan 93.
Handsome Dan 93. Yep, I stream on Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays.
Renee, where can we find you on the social media?
You guys can follow me both on, I'm all on Snapchat, Twitter, and Instagram on at Renee G. Bravo.
You can follow the show at Soup Complex, S-O-U-P Complex, on Twitter. And you can email us anytime if you have a suggestion for any topics or anything you'd like to see on the show. It's at, it not at, it's superioritycomplexshow.gmail.com. No, superioritycomplexshow@gmail.com. Why can't I do this anymore?
No.
And we also have a Facebook page. Please like us there. And you can interact with us there as well. Soup Complex, no. Jeez Louise, facebook.com/soup complex, S-O-U-P complex. So for Jake, for Renee, we will say fight the power. This transmission ends now.